Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Bestline Racing has a complete lineup of performance additives for your engine's needs. From our oil additives to our fuel treatments, we have you covered for your hobby, tow rig, race car, or your daily driver. Check the show notes for your Snail Trail 4x4 discount at bestlineracing.com.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, camping in Toyotas, see what I did there? We're going to do it twice.
Nice.
Then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. My name is Tyler. I'll be one of your hosts today. And joining me for the 163rd episode, I think it's 63 episodes in the bag. Well, I guess 162 in the bag, and one is
in progress
being made. Anyway, sitting here in the studio is one and only Mr. James Hydrojet. Mr. Jet, how are you?
I'm doing good. Nice. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm doing good. I'm here. Things are rolling.
I'm present
and accounted for, mostly. Maybe not mentally. Physically, I'm here. Mentally.
Mentally, the last few days I've been struggling.
Yeah.
But
yeah, me too.
And today apparently, because I just completely forgot to bring something down that I meant to bring down.
It was like the whole purpose of you coming down here.
No, that and this, but
details.
Yeah.
Nice. So cool. We are at Studio M.
Sure.
And having a good time today. It's been interesting weather over the past couple of days.
I didn't sleep a whole lot last night. It was freaking howling.
Yeah, I got to sleep a little bit until my neighbor's, he has like a big metal gazebo that overturned and ran into his house.
Oh,
it made
no.
a very loud noise.
Oh, man.
So after that, I didn't sleep very much, but
yeah. We had a bunch of branches and things knock on the roof, but that was about it.
Okay.
My house, I had a few big branches fall off of a redwood, but they just fell onto the ground. Nothing, no biggies.
Okay.
So well,
that's good.
Yeah. I did button down some of the hatches before, moved all the bonsai trees off of the shelves and moved them onto the ground so they didn't fall over, covered a bunch of wood, covered the axles, and there's some tires outside that are all covered. Cinched down those and checked Becky out, and she's doing good. That's really about it.
The Becky, is it Becky? Samantha's bed. Is Samantha's bed still standing on the stands?
You know, I didn't check. I don't remember checking this morning, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Because that was a little rickety. I don't think it was super 100% solid, but yeah, we got a lot of wind. A big windstorm is crashing through California this week. So it's bringing, upwards of 10 feet of snow in total for this week. And it's supposed to continue raining through like Wednesday, Thursday minimum next week. So we're getting like straight 2 weeks of rain here. And the storm so far has been pretty cool. It's been awesome.
Yeah, it's been pretty gnarly. On the news, they said at the Sacramento International Airport, they were getting gusts over 60 miles an hour.
Wow. That's nothing compared to Spider Lake last week.
No, but that's also not near a peak of a mountain. True. That's here in the valley.
True.
I wonder what it was up there.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll check the weather station here quick, or we'll have Murph do it before we get into everything. But, yeah, so it's been fun. I love storms, and I don't know why. I don't like nice weather. I like I like crazy weather.
I like them because it has a sense of like Armageddon-esque.
Okay.
Like okay.
The world's ending.
Yeah, kind of. You know, like okay, well, if the power goes out, you know, what are we going to need to do?
Yeah.
You know, cuz like last night we put some flashlights by the beds and we made sure all the devices that needed to be charged the next day were currently charging, you know, so that if they did run out of batteries, you know, that the alarm would still go off, that we could go to school, you know.
Yeah.
And unplugged some things that, you know, we were concerned, some computers that we might have been concerned about surges coming down the line, you know, yeah, just, you know, kind of doing that list of like, okay, there's, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen and what, how do we protect that?
Yeah.
So
I was impressed. We had power go out last night.
Oh, did you?
For 2 or 3 hours, I think, something like that. And I got up to look because it kind of caught me off guard. And, you know, those flashlights I can see moving around in the neighbor's houses out the in the backyard. And then there was one house that I can see that still had like all of its downstairs lights on. And I was like, wait a minute.
They probably have solar and batteries.
So I'm thinking they either have solar and batteries, or I was looking into it this morning and there's light bulbs you can get with batteries built into the light bulbs.
Hmm.
So that when power goes out, the battery kicks on and keeps your lights on, and they can keep going for like upwards of 10, 15 hours.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's impressive.
Yeah. I was like, oh man, maybe we should look into some of those, but this is the first time we've had a power outage here. Yeah. So.
Yeah. A few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, we had the power outage for a few days up in, you know, where I live. And, but yeah, I didn't spend the night at my house last night, so I don't know if power went out at all. We had a few like very quick flickers at the assistant's house, and that was about it. That no power didn't drop, clocks were all fine. So
nice. We've seen posts popping up on Nextdoor app that says, hey, show us your new wind gifts, I think is that what they named it? Oh,
that's funny.
And so somebody was like, I have a new trampoline as of this morning. A trampoline flew into their backyard and landed like on its feet in their backyard.
That's funny. Wow. Yeah, yeah. When I was driving over here, I saw a few like car canopies just up in trees. You know, like, oh my God. It's like a tornado. You know, like, just crazy. I think tornadoes probably get higher winds, but you know, it was pretty for out here. We don't normally get stuff like that.
No, so we don't. Fun. That's like, that's why you live in California, is because you don't get weather like that very often at all.
Yeah. And now it was almost blue skies on the outside for the most part. Very thin, high clouds, you know, very, very light, sprinkly rain going on. Almost like, you know, you never know, would have known that you had such a crazy night until you start driving down the road. I don't know if you left your house today, but
I haven't.
Driving in here, there's like the whole road has debris in it.
Everywhere.
Yeah, like branches from trees, like things down. Yeah.
Wow.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I like it. So yeah, there's a, anyways, people are funny. They're like showing pictures of knocked over, picnic,
umbrellas,
not umbrellas, the chairs, like picnic chairs from their backyard. Sure. They're just like knocked over and they're all, we will rebuild from the great storm of 2021.
Right.
Anyways,
a 2021 earthquake.
Yeah. But, up in the hills is getting a lot of snow though.
I know.
So that'll be fun and exciting. They had some pretty gnarly snow come down last night. Couple people were stuck out on the Rubicon and had to go get rescued. So thank you to all of our search and rescue people for going out and taking care of the peasants that don't know how to take care of themselves. And should be fun to see what the next, you know, week and a half brings.
Yeah, that's gonna be, it'll be really interesting. Let me know if you ever go out on some calls. I might be interested in jumping in, Kermit, and going along.
Yeah, it'd be fun. You're gonna be down at Hammers though.
Yeah.
So I think that's the first thing we should mention is that we completely messed up on the dates of Hammers.
Yeah, we did.
Nobody's corrected us yet.
I thought it was a whole week earlier than it actually is.
Yeah, I thought it was this week, the last week of January, and it's the first week of February. Mm-hmm. So,
I called Jason from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, and I'm like, hey, man, it's going to be some gnarly weather down there, and all I have is my rooftop tent.
Yeah.
Like, I'm considering I'm still going to go, but I'm not going to drive Clifford and tow Bobcat. I'm just going to bring Charlotte and the rooftop tent, you know, because it's just, I'm not really going to be wheeling around, and I just want to make it easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's like, what are you talking about? Like, it's not this week. Yeah. I'm like, wait, what?
What? Since when?
Yeah. And I was oh man, that makes things so much easier.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. We have, let's get into some updates for everybody.
Okay.
So the first one is that there are currently 5 tokens hidden. Did you get to hide anymore?
I haven't hit anymore.
Okay. So there's about 5 tokens hidden right now up in the Sierras. in Northern California. We're going to get some more hidden out here soon. I wasn't able to get any hidden on my trip last weekend because everything was just kind of snowed over and I didn't punch any holes in these yet to hang them in a tree.
Yeah.
So nothing got hidden on my last trip here, but there are five out there and we're looking at going live with them February 1st. So we'll find a way to get the tokens and GPS coordinates out to the patrons. We've already made the changes to the patron account.
Yep.
So those are officially done and live. So if you guys wanted to be in and get the coordinates 6 months ahead of time from everybody else, make sure you're signed up for any of the tiers on Patreon.
Yes.
So we got those going on. We're almost caught up with lasering stuff that we need to laser. So we should be able to start making some more pucks soon and start disseminating those out across the country.
Yes.
You like that word? It's a good word.
That was a big word.
That's a Scrabble word right there. That's for Chris from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
I just stick to the four-letter ones.
The four-letter ones? Gotcha.
Even though letter is probably five.
In letter is six. L-E-T-T-E-R, yeah.
Oh, six. I can count.
Good job. So that's the first update. Second update is the power tank giveaway for January is coming to a close here shortly. So you have a few more days to get in on that. January 31st is the cutoff if you want to be in for the power tank giveaway and get your entry for it. Then make sure you're signed up over on patreon.com/snailtrailforex4. So that's the second update. Third update is for the giveaway for February.
February.
So February, we have lined up. Dun, 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 dun.
I don't have that button.
We need to
make
one.
We should have that button.
Yeah. We have lined up some more gear wrench tools. So we're going to put together a nice little pack of a combination pack of gear wrench and crescent and maybe some Lufkin stuff. So we'll get that out to you guys. It's going to be about $200 to $300 value. So you guys get a chance to win it for just $10.
Yeah.
Woot woot. So yeah, we're going to have that out and let me see. We'll get the details on exactly what tools are going to be in that pack for you guys here in February after Jimmy gets back from Hammers. We'll be announcing those.
Yeah, I know that there's going to be a lot of little goodies in there, though.
Some
hidden gems for sure.
Yes, which makes me think when you mention little goodies, it's not thinking what you think I'm thinking, okay? It's the little tape measures.
Oh, yeah.
The keychain tape measures that we teased about. I haven't seen any more emails come in about them, so I'm officially calling that done, and we're going to get all those shipped out for people.
Okay.
So anybody who has put in the request about the, what are we calling it?
The mini tape measure.
No, it was an Easter egg.
The Easter egg during the episode.
Mm-hmm. If you found the Easter egg and emailed us about it before today, then you're good. And we'll get those shipped out to people. If you're just now mentioning it or just now figuring it out, then sorry, not sorry.
Wah, wah.
Stay current on the podcast.
I have that one, don't I?
You should have that one.
Bummer, dude.
Good job. So yeah, we'll get those the mini tape measures out for people here in the month of February as well. And we have the Gear Wrench Ultimate Garage giveaway was just delivered to the winner. Kurt Busch delivered everything to the winner.
Yes, that's right.
Last week, I believe. So not too long ago.
Yeah, last week or so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now that is out and done, we are waiting for a few more items still, and then we'll be able to put ours out to the runner-up winner.
Yep.
So watch for that and listen for that the next couple of weeks coming up here. We'll be announcing it on social media as well as here on the podcast, and we'll probably end up doing a YouTube video on it as well.
Are we?
I thought so.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Sounds good.
Okay, good. And I think that does it for the updates.
Okay.
So I don't know. I might be missing something, but I think that covers the important at once immediate stuff. And yeah.
Yeah. The only slight little update I have is if you are going to KOH this year, figure out your route, because right now a lot of the passes to get there are closed.
Yes.
So prep ahead of time, figure out what's going to happen, where you're going to need to go to get there, because, you know, I think the big one right now, the one that goes up outside of Bakersfield, and I can't remember the town that's at the top there. Is it on Highway 58? I think that one is closed.
I know that there's one down there that gets up to like 4,500, 5,000 feet almost. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty steep pass. And if that is the one you're thinking of, then that will probably be closed.
Yeah. And so you're going to need to figure out the route that you're going to go probably ahead of time.
Yeah.
For those people in Southern California, it's probably no big a deal, but for us that are traveling down, then yeah, definitely you're going to need to figure it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Tehachapi on Highway 58.
Tehachapi, that's the one. Yeah.
Yep. I think that one's currently closed.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah, good luck getting down there.
I know. I'm
How
halfway.
How are you going to go? You're going to have to go over to the coast and then cut over?
I'm halfway considering going up 80.
Up 80?
Mm-hmm. And hit 395 and come down the backside.
So go down 395. Yeah, you just got to be careful. I don't know if Donner will be open.
I think it is as of this point in time. So a week from today is when I'm going to be departing.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Just have to take chains with you.
Yeah, I'll just have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it's going to be hairy on every single pass, I'm probably not going to tow. Mm. I'll probably just take Charlotte.
Gotcha.
Or just Bobcat. I don't know yet.
Just take Bobcat all the way down.
Yeah.
That'd be a long drive.
Yeah. It's doable.
Yeah.
No tunes.
Yeah. You can take the Gear Ranch I'll Bluetooth take the little, speaker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right.
Oh, man.
So shall we get into our what in the butt?
Sure. I don't know what you, I don't, never mind. I don't want to know. So
that's probably the safe answer.
Safe answer. Yeah. So what have you been up to? What are you doing? Cause I went, snow camping and snow wheeling kind of, I went snow camping and then wheeling was
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Over the weekend. So, but that's a fun little story about it all. What did you do?
Yeah, I've not a lot. I've been doing a lot of back end stuff for what in the butt.
I was gonna say
No, like I got the Tundra tailgate out. So okay. I've been doing, you know, taking photos and prepping and getting that ready and editing the website and doing everything that needs to happen for that. So that is out and that is released, and I think there's 4 left available.
Oh wow.
I only had 11 or 12, so 12. Okay. So it wasn't like there's not all that many, but
yeah. Have you gotten a lot of feedback yet from them?
I don't know if anybody's actually, I've received it yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so I sent them out in the mail on Monday or Tuesday, so
gotcha.
It was, you know, they're either getting them today or tomorrow or you know. Uh-huh. Most everybody that purchased one was in California though, so that was kind of interesting.
Okay.
But yeah, and then I've been taking photos for the cup holders and then doing all the laser etching on those because they need to go out for the panels, and then doing some of the laser etching for Morflate stuff. And yeah, so I've been working in the shop but not really doing any off-roading work in a way.
Yeah.
You know, doing more business things. And the next round of panels came in, and so, or they came back from the laser cutter water jet person, and then Hustle Nuts, and then I had to countersink all those holes, and that took a solid day. And thank you to you for letting me use your desktop.
My shitty drill press.
Yeah. Well, mine's, yeah. So I got, that's funny, because so a while ago, I was talking about how my drill press like kicked the bucket and it wasn't working.
Uh-huh.
And Reed got in contact with me and said there's a really good shop down here in Sacramento that can repair them. And so I took it down to them, and they pretty much opened it up and said, yeah, no, you don't want to repair this. It's shot. It's done. It's gone. And I said, okay, well, do you guys sell any other ones, or do you have, you know, can you get me another one that is this, but you know, would work.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, if I plug it in, it'll go. Huh. And they said, let me look. And they found one that like matched it identically. I was like, wow. Sweet.
Nice.
And so it was like $250. So that's a little bit more than what I bought the stand up drill press mm-hmm. for, but that's still, I mean, maybe you can find drill presses on like stand up three mm-hmm. quarter horsepower drill presses on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist for that price. But this is a brand new motor. So it's, I kind of was like, yeah, let's do it. So it actually came in this week and the lady called me and she said, yeah, I don't know what happened, but it looks like the person that packaged this up dropped it before they sent it to you or sent it to us, you know? And so, so she's like, we're not accepting this and we're going to return it. And we have to wait another week or so to get another version back. And I said, wow. No, I more or less said, no worries. Cause the one reason I needed to get the drill press, I already did the work. So
now you have a little bit more time.
I have a window, and plus I'm not even going to be in town next week. You know, I tried to put her at ease more than, you know, I was like, I'm not concerned about it right now.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Which kind of goes back to, when I was stressing so much about the snail armor being like 2 months late,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'd send out emails periodically to keep everybody mm-hmm. up to date.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people reached back and said, hey, no biggie. Thanks for keeping us informed. And that's how I felt when she called me and let me know what was going on.
Yeah.
Instead of me calling her and being like, where's my motor? And then another thing I did was I took the drill or the bits to get black oxided
the drill bits
the screws, because I'm going to flathead screw style.
Gotcha.
So the tailgate will be 100% flat. That's nice. The goal.
Uh-huh.
And no more of the domed Torx bits sticking up out of the tailgate. Now it'll be countersunk with a flathead bit, and everything's going to be completely flat. So I took those screws to a black oxide place, and they did not. It was like a funky old gold color. It was almost the color like wood in these things. It was really bad.
So it wasn't black at all.
No, it wasn't black at all.
Okay.
And so I sent some screws up to a place in Oregon that does black zinc plating.
Okay.
And they got them plated, and they're sending them back to me now. So I'm going to get to see those. So that'll be really nice.
Did they send you pictures of them, or are they just returning them right now?
They're just returning them.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and they do two different styles. They do like a barrel zinc and then a dip kind of zinc. Okay. And so they did them both, and one they said kind of comes out a little dull, and one comes out all shiny and pretty. And I'm like, well, I don't think I need shiny and pretty.
Which one's more expensive?
The shiny and pretty one is more expensive, but I don't know how dull is.
Yeah.
So that's what I was like, well, do both. Nice. And we'll see what happens. So, yeah, so I've been doing a lot of behind the scenes, backdoor kind of work that I don't really show on Instagram, don't really shoot videos about, you know, doing business related activities that fulfill my day. And, you know, haven't gotten to work on Samantha for a while, haven't worked on Bobcat for a while, haven't worked on Clifford for a while. And so in the next few days, I'm going to try and, you know, I need to do an oil change on Clifford. I took it to the alignment shop, and they said they wanted about $1,000 worth of work on the front end of Clifford.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And then I was like, what? For what? And they're like, well, your ball joints are going out, and those, you know, those take a lot of work to get done, you know? And so it'll be like $250 for the ball joints and $250 to $300 for the labor.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then I'm like $500 for an alignment. Like, how does that work out?
Yeah.
You know? And they're like, oh no, you know, and I, you know, and they tried to break it down again. And I was like, how about I take it? I'll put the ball joints in and bring it back to you to get aligned.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you can do that. So I don't know if that's going to get, my goal is to get that done before my trip to KOH. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that'll happen. That's a goal for the weekend.
Gotcha.
This weekend. So I'm going to try to get an oil change. I want to get, change the fuel filter. I want to change the ball joints, and I want to change the steering column because it has the wheels a little, the bearings out in the steering column. So, and then I want to check Bobcat's fluid levels and everything that he's got going. He's ready to roll, but I just want to check everything off and check some bolts, tighten things up, and then pretty much load it up for the most part.
Yeah.
So
nice.
Yeah. So it'll be, it's going to be a busy next 3 or 4 days. Yeah. And then on Monday coming up, Lee out saying FJ80 is coming up and we're going to do a little bit of laser work and we're going to work on his FJ and do some bearings.
Nice.
And then I think we're going to do a hot food challenge.
Round two. Okay.
Because he provided round one.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to provide round two.
So is Chuck Norris going
to
be in this one?
Chuck Norris is coming. Okay. I need to still get a hold of Jose because he was in it. And then the secretary is going to join us.
Yeah. And I'll be sitting back eating ice cream.
Yes.
It'll be great.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. That'll be a Monday night. So keep your eyeballs on the Instagram because I'm sure we'll be posting some info about all the shenanigans going on.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, that sounds like a fun packed weekend you got coming up here.
Yeah. The weekend's going to be hectic and busy. I mean, for sure. Hopefully it's not too wet because I don't know if Clifford will fit into the snail trail shop. So yeah. I might have to pull like the front end in and, you know, have it in the open bay and that's it, you know.
I have a pop-up tent you can borrow.
Okay.
And you just got to make sure it doesn't fly over across windy the street. It is.
Well, I think if I can pull the front end in, I mean, that's really about enough. That's enough. The only sort of bummer is if it's windy, then, you know, wind's flying in or when, you know, leaves are flying in or the water's flying in. What, you know, but whoop-de-doo. As long as I'm not standing in the rain, that's much better.
Yeah. Nice. Well, my plan for this weekend is just to build some axle stands.
Okay.
That will move around my garage.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's another thing we did that I didn't talk about.
And that's because we went over and picked up Gear Wrench Corey's front axle housing.
Yes.
From Rough Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to talk with Garrett over at Rough Stuff.
Yep.
See how they were doing. We haven't gone over there and just kind of got to sit down and chat with them for a while, almost, I think, since the last interviews we did with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really cool. They got some really fun new toys going on in there.
There's got a lot of good changes happening at the facility. It's really quite amazing what they have going on.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they have they're getting set up with a bunch of Bystronics machinery.
Mm-hmm.
So they just got a new brake press from them. They got a big old laser from them. They got a loader. Was it called an auto loader for their lathe?
I don't think that's
a Bystronics, though.
They got two of them.
Oh, they got two one.
I don't know if they're... Because they're plugging those into Haas machine, Haas lathes or mills. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if the loaders are Haas as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that he was showing us was like... the bar falls into this catch. And then the bar spins inside the loader as well.
In oil.
So it flings the oil around and it centers itself because it presses the oil out and away. It's so crazy to think about. Like, so it's just spinning there at however many RPMs and it's centered in this void of oil.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. And it handles, what was it, 12, 15 foot bars? I think it was 12 foot bars, something like that.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool piece of machinery. The brake press is really cool as well. The new brake press they have. It's not as big as their big brake press, but it's way more smarter.
Yeah. It has lasers.
I know, right?
And it will actually read the deflection of the metal. So if you say, I want a 90 degree bend, you kind of just hit the button and it will bend it and have the camera and shoot its lasers out and stop it when it hits 90 degree or just past. And if it deflects, it'll know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll essentially give you a perfectly spot on 90 degree bend every time. Whereas like, you know, some normal manual bake presses, you just press the thing down, then you kind of have to look at it.
Yeah. Or you get your little gauge out.
Yeah. It needs to go a little tiny bit further because it opened back up after you pressed it kind of thing. So this one's really cool. That laser is really freaking cool. The whole kind of area they've set up now in that new warehouse is pretty neat where the designers are sitting for doing their prototyping stuff.
Yeah. Well, did you hear him say that they're pretty much out of power in that warehouse?
No.
Yeah. He said everything that they've got in there has is almost at their limit of power for that building.
Wow.
And there's still so much room for opportunity.
There's a ton of room
in there. Yeah. So it's really cool. It's fun to be able to get, you know, that's one of the benefits of being a podcaster and getting out there is, you know, mm-hmm. we've now befriended one of the, you know, CEO, CFO, whatever Garrett's title is. Of Rough Stuff, and he's like hey, come check this out, you know. Yeah. And he takes us over and he's like, this is the new laser, you know, and showing us about it.
Yeah,
it was we saw it last time, but it wasn't operational. It wasn't operating at this time, but it, you know, they had pieces out on the tray out mm-hmm. there that were, you know, had been cut. So it was really cool. Another thing I was shocked about was that their new studio area.
Oh yeah, that's going to be really neat too.
Their media, they hired two. They had a media guy, and they hired another media guy, and now they've completely redone the section that had like junk in it when we went and did the tour.
It had Dan's FJ stuff.
It had Dan's FJ toys. It was Dan's
storage room.
Yeah, and like an FJ 45 bed and a few bodies, and well, not 45 bodies, but 40s bodies and axles and tires and randomness. And they converted that whole space into a new studio, and they're going to be shooting videos, and that's where they're going to be recording the podcasts, and they're going to make like a comfy couch podcast studio, which is going to be kind of a cool thing. And mm-hmm. they've got a whole area where they can, they're going to start shooting like videos about their products. And I don't know if they're going to do how-tos or if they're going to be doing like what the product is actually for and just talking about it and, you know, describing it and showing it off and spinning it around or.
Yeah. It's pretty cool to set up there. They've got a, you know, a big counter to do like what you're saying, kind of product talks. They're going to have that couch area for a podcast and, a video shooting podcast mm-hmm. as well, mm-hmm. To bring people in and have guest interviews and stuff like that there. It's a really neat kind of recording studio space that they're creating and setting up there. So
absolutely
yeah
it's really, really cool. I mean, I'm happy for them. Mm-hmm. You know, they're great guys. Mm-hmm. It's a great company. Bummed they're not gonna be at KOH this year. But you know, to see the advancements in what they're doing and bringing because they do get some things from overseas and they're pulling all that back into the United States. Mm-hmm. They're buying all this great machinery so that they don't have to buy anything from overseas ever again, because mm-hmm. they want to do it all in house. So it's really cool to see.
It was
see
really
this
cool. One of the
grow.
Things that he mm-hmm. said that I was like, that's pretty freaking cool, was by him stating that they want to bring, like you said, everything over and eventually and find better foundries here in the States and mm-hmm. find, you know, be able to do all the bends, all the cutting, all the prototype R&Ding, everything here in house, that their eventual goal is to do that and put pressure on their competitors to do the same thing so that more of the off-road industry ends up getting pushed into coming back and bringing, you know, all the metalworking stuff back into the States here.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm stoked for them. And, the axle we picked up looked rad.
It looks pretty freaking awesome.
It is heavy.
It is.
It's so heavy.
So yeah, that was, the other thing I wanted to talk about was getting to sit there and talk with Garrett about their axle housings mm-hmm. and talk with them about, the intricate precision that goes into building those things and what it would take to, you know, just slap on some knuckleballs from an FJ80 and cutting the axle down and everything that goes into making that axle and making it usable now mm-hmm. from that housing. I think I've made up my mind. I'm going to go with Rough Stuff housings.
Are you?
For my axle setup. Okay. When I do them. So
nice.
Yeah. It'll be really neat. I like the way it's set up. I like the way that it looks. Those tubes are freaking thick. They are thick.
Are they quarter wall?
They're more than quarter. Three-eighths wall?
They're big.
They're thick. So anyways, yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do with mine. So we got Gear Wrench Corey's axle innards, so for the front axle, the housing, we have the shafts, the Hellfire knuckles are on a really long back order apparently. Mm-hmm. We have his I believe the spindles are all set. I think the only thing that we need to work out is steering and brakes, but we should be able to start putting together his front axle housing so that we can put all the shafts in the third member, get it all lined up and put together, which is why I'm building the axle stand.
Got it.
In my garage this weekend. So
okay.
If I get that done, though, and I get caught up with the Morflight orders I need to get out this week, then I'll be coming over to help out with the stuff on Clifford and getting Bobcat's fluids, okay, and everything set up. So
cool.
Yeah.
That'd be appreciated.
Yeah. I like working on rigs,
yeah,
a little too much sometimes.
Well, then let's stop the podcast here. So
and take a break and we'll come over.
Well, no, so you can go finish your axle stand. So
I don't even have it started yet.
Because I need the help.
Yeah. No, I need to figure out how I'm going to make it adjustable height. I think I'm just going to take it and drill holes in some tubing or square tubing and put tubing inside of each other, like a sure receiver kind of thing, mm-hmm, and then put that all onto a plate with some casters and then have a big old V thing on top of it to set the housing in.
Yeah, you're going to need to space the casters out a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And have mm-hmm four. And yeah, but that, I mean, it shouldn't be too hard. I mean, I just picture it as like a sort of a U-shaped item, mm-hmm, right? Where the axle can go on the top and then the casters sort of flare out or, you know, go mm-hmm straight out one way or another and, you know, just get it wide enough so it's not completely top heavy.
Yeah.
Yep. Then, yeah. And then get some locking casters so you can just put it in its place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, here's one of my suggestions to you.
Okay.
Do a little research and see if you can find how much axle stands cost.
Oh yeah.
True. Before you go down the rabbit hole of building one.
Yeah.
I have not looked them up. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But I know the battery box scenario that you went down.
That's true.
And how much time and effort you put into building a battery box when, yeah, you know, you thought that it was a lot of money just to buy one, uh-huh, and you found out how much time it takes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if buying like, you know, a few like 6-ton jack stands, mm-hmm, and then welding those up on like a lift of some sort and then putting some wheels on it, you know, I'm sure there's a way that we could figure out to make it pretty cheap and quick, yeah, you know, so.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. Or just buy some more Sumners.
Yeah, that would be the other thing, is just to buy a couple Sumners and put some casters on them. Or yeah, put them on a stand.
You put the Sumners on a pallet and put the pallet on casters.
There you go. Yeah, just get some half-inch plywood or three-quarter-inch plywood and just put it down at the bottom and make, yeah, each Sumner on its own little stand, I guess, movable stand.
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. And then put like a 2x4 across it on, yeah, the bottom side so that you can tie them together.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. So yeah, that's my plan for the weekend, is to look into that finally. Let's see what I did last weekend though.
Yes.
Was I went up snow camping and snow wheeling.
Yes, you did.
So that was a lot of fun. We didn't get a whole lot of wheeling in though.
Okay.
Because why? The Tuesday before, we had that massive wind storm come through. That was a average 92, 93 miles an hour winds at Spider Lake.
Yeah.
And it gusted, had the top gust was 123 mile an hour winds. That same, wow, storm brought 188 mile an hour gusts to Kirkwood. So with that coming in, we knew that there were going to be some trees down, but we didn't realize how many trees would actually be down. It looked like a war zone.
Really?
So you know those pictures of the forests in Washington after Mount St. Helens exploded?
Mm-hmm.
With all the trees, mm-hmm, just down, yeah, in one direction? All
leaning away. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There was a couple spots where it looked like that.
Wow.
Yes. It was
that's
very
crazy
impressive. Like in the Gurley Creek area where the Fork Fire, mm-hmm, went through and closed down the Rubicon last, yeah, year. That one had a lot of kind of just dead, freshly dead trees. And so that area looked like a picture scene from Mount St. Helens when it exploded.
Yeah. A little side mm-hmm tangent. I know that that because they knew so much rain and wind was going to come. Yesterday,
uh-huh,
they were doing mandatory evacuations down in Santa Cruz area.
Really?
Because of the fire that was there that burnt up Big Basin area.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were like, flash flooding's going to happen and the hills are going to be eroding and you guys got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of crazy.
Yeah, so, that's crazy stuff. So yeah, we were up there, and our plan was originally to head over into the Rubicon through Wentworth Springs.
Okay.
Because our club does the adopt a trail there for that Wentworth Springs in from the campground into the intertie on the Rubicon. And so our plan was just kind of go through there and do an assessment after the windstorm. But we weren't sure how far we were going to make it. And so our backup plan was to go up the old original Wentworth Springs Road that kind of goes up and over the hill. Okay. Into the campground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then our backup plan was to go out to McKinstry Peak and head from Airport Flats Campground up and over McKinstry over to Uncle Tom's and then back down, because that's a much wider road. It would have been a little more icy, but I think it would have been able to have fewer trees down blocking the road that we would have to cut through to go and do some snow wheeling.
Yeah.
And so, we kind of got, our plan was to be at Airport Flats Campground, and we ended up not getting into Airport Flats Campground because there was a big ass tree down on the bridge right before Airport Flats, which is the picture I just posted today on Instagram.
Yeah, that thing was gnarly.
That was huge. It was a big ass tree. And one of the guys that was with us brought a cab over camper, and he couldn't fit under the tree to get into the air and into the campground.
Oh, man.
So we stayed at a little day use overflow parking area for the campground. Okay. We stayed there for the weekend. And that was interesting because that whole like parking area was a solid 3-4 inches of ice. Covered with about 2 to 3 inches of fresh powder.
Interesting.
So you would get in there and you'd be like, oh, this is kind of nice, and step out of your rig and fall immediately on your ass. And everybody fell at least 2 to 3 times throughout the weekend because of just the solid ice block that we were camping on top of pretty much. And so that was the fun part of that location there. And then Saturday morning, we got up and a couple of guys come by in some Jeeps, and they drove on by, and then one of them came back like 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
And he comes down into our little camping area and he goes, hey, how's it going, everybody? You know, and we're like, hey, good. And we're like, hey, how's the road up there? We figured there's going to be a lot of trees down. He goes, there's a lot of trees down. The other Jeeps that he kind of went in with, we're working on cutting all the trees out of the road.
Wow.
And clearing the road so that they can get through. And he goes, it's a lot of trees. So I'm going to try and go up the old Wentworth Springs Road up and over the hill here. I was like, oh, that's perfect. That was our other backup plan. All right. So he goes, all right, yeah, I'm going to head up here and I'll, you know, if you guys see me soon, if you don't see me, you know, it's clear. And if you do see me, then, you know, it's not clear. And we're like, okay, cool. So he gets up and he goes, and less than 5 minutes later he comes back down. He goes, don't go that way.
That sucks.
So we were like, okay, well, let's go see what it looks like down the road, our original way that we were planning to go. And if we either get to the point where it's just too much work, we're tired of cutting trees, or if it seems like we're just in these guys' way that's ahead of us from them working and cutting on trees, then we'll just turn around and head over to McKinstry Peak and Uncle Tom's cabin.
Okay.
And so we're like, okay, cool. So we all kind of got together, and Lee, I'd say an FJ80, came for the run for the trip that weekend. He brought the two kids. And he brought Tony.
Okay.
With the Tundra.
Yeah.
Tundra Tony. So Tundra Tony and Lee came in Friday night and camped with us on Friday night with the guy with the cab over camper, Dennis. And so we had a fire going Friday night. It was nice. And then Saturday we collected a bunch of wood in the evening time once we got back, and had a big fire once everybody else was there. But it was really cool to have Lee there for another snow wheeling trip, and having the kids there for a snow camping trip.
Right.
So it was a lot of fun having him around. And then Tony came with the Tundra and his dog, Jackson. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Jackson's such a cool dog.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So he was really fun to have around. And I was a little concerned about the Tundra because they don't have lockers at all. Lee, at least in his FJ80, has a triple locked FJ80.
Right.
Yeah. So he has a front locker, rear locker, and a diff locker.
Tony hasn't added lockers into his?
I don't think so.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Because he pretty much just goes out and does like week long trips out in desert stuff.
Okay.
He does, goes out for like multi day camping things out in the deserts, which is, the Tundras are awesome platforms for. And so, pretty sure he doesn't have lockers. He never had them locked up the whole time we were there, at least. And so I was like, okay, you can probably make it into Wentworth Springs campground. Beyond that, if we get beyond that and start heading into the Rubicon, I'm going to ask that you leave the truck in the campground here and jump in and ride with somebody else. He goes, okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
So,
that makes sense.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. So, we
see him go up post pile.
Oh my God, that would be hilarious. Or try and make the turn to get on the bypass for post pile.
Yeah, right.
Right. So anyways, we were like, okay, cool. So let's just head down the road, see what we find out, see where these guys are that are ahead of us, see if they need help cutting anything. And we'll just kind of go along and see if we can help them cut stuff and continue going throughout the day. And if we get bored or tired of cutting or working, then we'll turn around and head up McKinstry. So we went on down, found these guys. And these guys they do this a lot, apparently.
Yeah, they had a system down.
They had a very good system down. And I get the sense that these are the kind of guys that will wait for a super windy storm. And then they're like, their thing that gets them pumped and going is to be the first ones out on a trail after a storm, clearing trees. Yes. So what they were doing, which was pretty cool to watch, they had essentially four rigs that were doing it, two YJs, I believe.
I wonder if they're up there today.
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised. But they had two YJs, a JK, and then a Grand Cherokee. And the Grand Cherokee and the JK didn't know the two YJs. They just kind of pulled up and were like, yeah, we have chainsaws. Let's help clear everything as they were going. So those four rigs and then us, and we had eight rigs or so. And so they were taking two rigs at a time, and they would take two rigs and work on clearing a tree. Once they had the tree cut and pulled open just enough for rigs to get through, the other two rigs would drive through to the next tree.
Yeah. Meanwhile, then, they would continue to clear a path for the tree or clear the tree out while the people in the front start working on the next tree.
Exactly.
Got it.
And then usually by the time the first group would catch up to the second group that's now ahead, the second group would have that just barely opened enough and to drive right through. So they were doing this.
They were leapfrogging.
Clearing the trees. And like, we would get out of our rigs and start walking up to see, you know, if we can help move branches, clear stuff out of the road. By the time we get there, it's already open and done. And so, like, we would get out of the rig, go up to see what we can do to help with, and it's all done. So we have to walk back to the rig, get in, and then continue on, and then keep doing that. And so finally, we're just like, we're just going to stop getting out of the rigs. These guys are way too efficient.
Yeah. So they weren't monster trees. Most of them weren't as big as the picture you posted.
That picture was the biggest one that we encountered throughout the day. Everything else
I'm
was...
I'm surprised that bridge didn't break.
Right? The guardrails are definitely going to need to get redone. Yes. But yeah, that's a big tree. Most everything we encountered that day was, I don't know, 8 to 20 inches.
Wow.
Okay. So not too bad. It was definitely doable with 18 inch bar chainsaws. But it was really cool to watch those guys work. And, it got to the point where we couldn't even keep up with them just driving.
Wow.
So we got into, Wentworth Springs, the road that you hate that goes from into the campground.
Mm-hmm.
And on that road, there's a couple of steep sections, and the Tundra was having issues getting up the steep sections. And it got to the point where the Tundra's electronics started freaking out and refused to go anywhere anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So his ABS, his traction control, all that was like flipping out and wouldn't let him drive
anymore.
Does
he not know how to turn that off?
I guess not. No. Yeah. So what we ended up having to do in order to fix it and allow him to move anymore was we pulled his ABS fuses. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we pulled his ABS fuses and that unlocked everything. It still gave him a Christmas tree on his dashboard, but at least he was able to move again.
I pulled the ABS fuse on the Tacoma on Charlotte, and mm-hmm. I lost my brakes.
You didn't have brakes at all?
Uh-uh.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah. So I know that's a trick for some of the older Toyotas, mm-hmm. but I think they either got news of it or word of it or heard about it or something, and they figured out sort of a thing that says don't do that anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, because on my 2016 Tacoma, it's like I was coming, we did that because I was out wheeling with wheel every weekend, Ian and Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
And we pulled the fuse and I was coming down this hill and I was rolling into the intersection because I didn't have any brakes.
Oh no.
Like they were there, but they weren't like, it wasn't powered brakes. It was like manual brakes.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we put the fuse in and everything worked fine.
Interesting. Yeah. He never said anything about the brakes being diminished after we pulled his ABS fuses. So I don't know. But we got him turned around and we spent half an hour, 40 minutes trying to diagnose why his system was going crazy before just saying, I'll just pull your fuses and get you turned around and go back home, back to the campground. And so we turned him around. So him, Lee, and another guy from the club, Josh, who has a really nice JL, they all turned around and went back to the campsite. And the rest of us, we had four rigs left, continued on into the campground, Wentworth Springs Campground, and then on into the Rubicon.
Oh, cool.
And so that was at that point, we caught back up to the guys that were trimming and cutting all the trees. And at that point, up until we got to... there's a spot, I can never remember what it's called. It's like upper ledges and lower ledges, I think. It's where you come around the corner and all of a sudden you have two ways to go. And one is straight up the granite ledges to the left. And the other one just kind of is a nice... Yeah,
goes around it.
So we got up to that point and there was a pile of 3 to 4 trees piled up. Two of them were on the ground and two of them were like over our heads in the air. And it was about 3:30 by that point. And so we decided to turn around and head back to camp. And those guys stayed. And they were like, yeah, well, we're just going to... They had started... They pulled out their lunch and they were hanging out, having lunch. And we were like, all right, well, we're going to take a turn around, head back out. And so shout out to those guys.
For doing all of your work.
Oh, my God. They did a shit ton of work.
Yeah.
We probably only helped with maybe 7 to 8 trees total.
How many trees do you think they cleared? Like, guess.
At least 68.
At least 68. That's 68. A very precise number.
It is. I'll tell you how we got to that
number. Okay. So, on the way back.
Yeah. So we turned around and they said that they might decide to go further because from there I hiked, you know, down the trail to the ledge and the drive around the granite ledges. And from that pile of trees, there was another 2 trees down, and then there were 4 or 5 trees down in the bypass, the drive around the granite ledge there. And the granite ledges are all just ice, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And so I was like, there's no way we're going to make it up the granite ledges. And I don't want to have to fight through 6 more trees just to get to these 5 trees. So we're just going to call it a day. They ended up clearing those trees that we were stopped at, the pile of trees, mm-hmm. including the ones above our heads.
Wow.
Yeah. That's cleared dangerous. Those, right? Yeah, but they did it. And so they cleared those, they cleared the next ones, and then they winched themselves up the granite ledges.
Oh my gosh.
And made it all the way into the Rubicon, into the bowl.
Wow.
So they got to Rainbow, and I'm not sure where that is. I've never heard that referenced before.
Yeah.
But they got to Rainbow, they said, and made it into the bowl and caught the sunset in the bowl and then drove back out.
The way that they drove in?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so on the way back out, that's when they counted the trees.
Oh, man.
And they said they lost count after 68.
Jeez.
But they ended up stopping in at our campsite and hung out around the fire for a little bit. And I had just sat down with my steak and potatoes and Brussels sprouts. And so like they pulled up. I was like, hey, guys. Oh, man. Sorry. I was like, sorry, but I'm not going to stop eating my steak. It's hot right now. It's cold outside. But sit around, enjoy the fire.
Yeah, sure.
And so we chatted for a little bit and they cleared at least 68 trees that day.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. So their names, God, I'm going to butcher this. I'm just going to call them Rush and the Jays because there was 2 sets of brothers, Rush and I don't know. And then the other 3 guys were Jordan, Justin, and Josh, I think.
Okay.
Jordan, Justin, and Jared, I think. So two of them were brothers, and one of them was brother to Rush. So,
and they all had their own Jeep,
and they were in two Jeeps. So the two brothers were each in,
but I thought you said there was four Jeeps total.
Yes. The JK and the Grand Cherokee, the JK was heading up to his cabin there. Oh. And he's actually the medic from Sierra Trek. He's the guy that does the medic volunteering at Sierra Trek. So he has the Medi Cloak Jeep. and then the Grand Cherokee was just another guy that was randomly happened to be there in the area and just tagged along for the day, helping cut up trees.
So where did those guys go?
The Grand Cherokee left after the Wentworth Springs campground. He was on his way out just as we got to the campground, Wentworth Springs campground. And the Medicloak Jeep pulled off towards McKinstry up to his cabin. Yeah. And so, those two guys in the YJ, or the four guys in the two YJs, or as Rush and the three Js, I'm going to call
them. The two YJs made it into the bowl.
Yes. Yeah, and they got some really cool pictures in the bowl too, with the two Jeeps like up on some ledges in the bowl with the sunset behind them. It was pretty cool. I was actually pretty jealous. I was like, damn, I kind of wish I just stuck with you guys the rest of the day and gotten into the bowl and gotten to see that. So
yeah,
it was cool. It was a really fun day. We got back to camp and Josh blew his fuel line in his JL, and apparently Chrysler likes to use these proprietary connections for their fuel lines.
Dang it.
So we had no choice but to just kind of sit there, and then it was already too late in the day to head back into town and get parts. So we just had his Jeep sitting there with a tarp underneath it, and then we went down in the morning on Sunday morning to find something to connect his fuel line back together, and we ended up finding some hose barbs, dual-ended hose barbs that we shoved into the fuel lines, but like the hose barbs were just slightly too big. So we had to do something very risky and very dumb. And because the fuel lines are plastic, it's like hardened plastic.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not metal fuel lines.
Interesting.
And so we took a butane torch to the plastic fuel line.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Right? Just very, very quickly, just to warm it up a little bit so that it would expand a little bit. But we're like, let's cross our fingers that this works and doesn't blow everything up. Yeah.
Oh man.
And it worked. And we had fire extinguishers right there next to us, ready to go in case something bad happened.
How many elements?
Lee had one, and then we had, the one and two fire extinguishers that were in the JL. So, it worked. We got the hose barbs shoved into the fuel line and then hose clamped them together, and it ended up holding fuel pressure just fine and got him back home.
Dang. Cool.
So that was nice. And we, Sunday morning, also we put the ABS fuses back in the Tundra, and everything worked just fine. Had no issues.
Glad to hear it.
Yep. And then that was about it. We packed up and headed on home. At about 1:15, we got out of there, and within 15 minutes of us pulling out of the campsite, it was whiteout snow conditions.
Oh man.
Yeah.
And so did you go Ice House Road back?
Yeah, we took Ice House Road back.
And how fast were you guys going down Ice House Road?
Fairly, pretty slow.
Yeah.
Coming in, I was only going 15 miles an hour coming in, but it was actually fairly warm on Saturday, and it melted a lot of the ice off the road for Sunday going out. But Friday night coming in was way more hairy than Sunday driving out.
Okay.
There was a lot of ice and a lot of black ice on the road coming in Friday. But it was a fun trip. I love snow camping. Yeah. I don't know why I love storm conditions and being out in adverse conditions.
Yeah. There's something pure about snow camping.
It is.
Right? The white snow or the untouched snow or the, it's so quiet.
Super quiet. Everything gets deadened and dampened. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a different style of camping.
You don't get crowds. Yeah. That's another thing I like about it.
I do enjoy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when I go backpack snow camping, right? It's like, who's stupid enough to come out here,
right?
Hike through this snow and go backpacking.
Me, I am.
Me, you know, and what's great is not a whole lot of other people. So you don't usually see people.
Yeah. So everything worked out great, on my end for the camping side of stuff, except for my air mattress.
Yeah, I read about this.
I went through another air mattress. So I've gone through 4 air mattresses in the past year and a half or so.
And you go through them about as fast as I go through drive shafts.
Yeah, pretty much. So I don't know if I'm just rough on air mattresses, or like I just can't keep them airtight. I end up poking holes in them for some reason or another. And I think it's mainly to do with how I store everything in the 4Runner. I just kind of throw it in. I don't have a storage system for my trips.
Yeah.
But
was the intern with you?
Nope. He stayed home. But yeah, it got a big, like it was a big hole that I poked in it, and it would be flat within half an hour, 20 minutes to half an hour. And so
how'd you sleep?
Not good the first night. I was on snow, sleeping on snow essentially within 20-30 minutes. And so I had to keep adding layers throughout the night on me to keep the snow coldness off of me. I need that boundary layer, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so I should have just dipped myself in Diamond Nano Lube.
Yeah.
And so it got to the point where I had on my entire ski getup. I had on my ski pants, a thermals underneath, and then I had on a ski jacket, a sweatshirt, and a shirt underneath that. And like the side that was laying on the ground would be a little cold, and my other side would be really hot.
Yeah. And so you roll around.
So I'd roll around all night long. And I was like, this isn't going to work. So the next day we got back before dark from the tree cutting adventure. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to figure out where this hole is in the sleeping bag and see if I can, you know, and see if I can seal it up somehow. Lee had patch kits.
Nice.
Yeah. So we found the hole. It was a big hole. And he was able to patch it well enough to keep me off of the ground until about 6 a.m.
Cool.
That night. So that night I slept much better, and everything, I was plenty warm. No issues warmth wise. The mm-hmm. gazelle tents are beautiful for that. So I've come to the conclusion I want to keep using the gazelle tent for camping, but I need to find a way to sleep with a sure-proof way of knowing that I'm going to be off of the ground,
right,
in the tent. So that brought me down to cots or some like heavy-duty air mattress thing, or a foam mattress of some sort that doesn't depend on air to stay inflated and keep me off the ground.
Yeah.
But it needs to pack down fairly well.
Yeah. You need to just be more careful with your air mattress.
Apparently I can't do that. I tried making that mental note to do that, and apparently I can't do it. So I'm incapable having air mattresses.
Yeah. When I like the old school backpacker in me, mm-hmm. used to carry these, like, I don't know, they were a quarter or 3/8 inch thick blue foam pads.
Uh-huh.
Right. And mm-hmm. we rolled them up. You just rolled it up like a sleeping bag. Mm-hmm. And that's so you know about R rating, right?
Yep.
Where it's how well it reflects the cold way, it's like
insulation.
Insulation, yeah. You know, so if you're on snow, you know, and you had to throw on all these layers so that you would get at least a comfortable R rating for you that you could sleep. Well, the blue foam pads are like really high in mm-hmm. their R rating, mm-hmm. and they're thin and they're light and they're small and you can't damage them.
Yeah.
You know, we used to carry one of those with our sleeping pads back in the day because our sleeping pads were never highly R rated. So you had to, when we went snow camping, you had to do both of those.
Okay.
So that you had the blue foam pad to be R rated. And mm-hmm. then we had our thermarests, to sleep on top of.
Okay.
Nowadays the thermarests are smart enough that they have high R ratings. And so you don't need both of those. But if you're in your car, you know, that space taken up by one of those blue foam pads is, it would be at least a good safety, thing mm-hmm. for like, if the air mattress doesn't work, you can have a blue foam pad
the
there.
Backup. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a lot of padding from the ground, but mm-hmm. it will keep you warm on the ice and snow.
Yeah. So the other thing that is kind of like, I wish that I could get this to work as well, but it's not a requirement, is that it's got to have good cushioning as well, right? Good, good padding.
Yeah.
Because the secretary wants to go camping every once in a while as well. And so I want to get something that is the same size. I can get two of them to make a essentially a bed for both of us,
right,
in the T4 Gazelle when we go camping.
Sure. This isn't the solution. This is a
safety,
like safety or a backup or you know, like if you have your air mattress, you put this on the underside of your air mattress.
Yeah.
Right. It does nothing for your air mattress, but if by 6 a.m. you're on the ground. Now you're on the foam pad.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Okay.
You know, and you're not on the snow. Yeah. You know, it's sort of one of those, I don't know. It was an idea that came to my head of you get them in like 2 foot wide and 6 feet long and you roll the 2 6-foot thing, you know, and you get a tube that's like 6 inches in diameter. It's like a
yoga mat.
Yeah. It's like a long yoga mat, you know, something that you just lay out for yourself, because when you're backpacking, right, you don't want a heavy thing and you are somewhat concerned about space.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a foam thing doesn't weigh anything, you know, and you just roll it up and you just lash it on your backpack somewhere.
Gotcha.
But yeah, for car camping, it's a different story.
So yeah. And I
think a cot would be a good idea.
Solo. Yes. So I really wanted to look into a cot, for solo. Especially when I'm solo, I can take whatever the hell I want in the rig and there's abundant space. The problem is, I don't know. I got to figure out what size cot will fit in the Gazelle, the T3. So I do the measurements and figure those out and then find a cot that I like. But I think ultimately for solo trips, I would like a cot. I think a cot would work out the best for what I'm looking for. But then that means I've still got to buy two mattresses or something for when the secretary comes along.
Well, will the secretary ever go snow camping?
No.
So you got a season to figure it out.
True. I did pose the question to the patrons.
Yeah.
In our Facebook group.
Some really interesting topics
came out. Some good recommendations came out. And one of them that I've kind of looked into before, but I always kind of wrote it off as soon as I saw the price tag on it, was the Therm-O-Rest and the big, thick, 4-inch thick foam self-inflating camping pads. The Therm-O-Rest Mondo King is $180. And the other one that a couple people were mentioning was $230.
Okay.
So I was like, because I just saw those price points, I'm like, no, no way, not going to happen.
And that's a solo thing.
You can put two of them together. The one that's $230, the company actually makes a coupler. You can put two of them together to make a queen size bed.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But then it's like $500. for two beds, and I'm like, man, but at the same point I'm like, I can't find another solution. I've probably spent close to that in air mattresses over the past few years because I keep going through air mattresses. So I like the idea of the Paco pads. They're what Jason from Willy Wine and Whiskey is going to get. They are big in the rafting communities, whitewater rafting communities. They're essentially a really thick plastic PVC lined fabric air mattress with foam inside.
Okay.
And so being that really thick, heavy duty kind of PVC plastic outer lining on them.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
It takes a lot to puncture them and make them unusable anymore.
Right. But they take up a lot of space.
They take up a shit ton of... They take up more space than a Gazelle T3 does.
Does it really?
I think so, Holy crap. The T3 is longer, but the Paco pad is a lot more girthy. That's the word of the day, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Paco pads, way more girthy. The more you know. Paco pads. I would love to run a Paco pad, but it's just... They do not pack down at all.
Right.
So finding something else that was kind of like a Paco pad, but packs down more, would be awesome. But then the cheap guy in me comes out and says, I'm not going to pay $230, $500 for a bed that I'm taking camping. So I don't know. We'll see. And maybe I just need to break down and buy one off Amazon and do like what I did with my camping chairs.
Yeah.
When I bought 8 camping chairs, whatever it was, and sent them all back. Maybe I just need to do that. Buy a bunch of things on Amazon and then send a bunch of them back and figure out which one I like.
Let's do a review video.
right?
Tyler's recommendations of air mattresses.
Oh man.
Yeah. My air mattress I have a Neo Air by Therm-a-Rest.
Okay.
But it lofts up like an inch and a half.
Mm.
And it's only one person wide. But yeah. For solo it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now I haven't used it in so long because I have the rooftop tent.
Yeah.
And so you're almost halfway there if you're buying two of those air mattresses. Uh-huh. You're almost halfway to a rooftop tent price.
Yep.
And then you're off the ground. Mm-hmm. You're warm. Mm-hmm. You've got the mattress already built in. Mm-hmm. You got uh-huh. something on the top uh-huh. of your rig, super heavy.
Yeah, for the 4Runner, no bueno, but for the F-150,
yeah,
maybe. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I got to figure all that out, but so there's my.
You could have taken the F-150 on this trip. It sounds like
I could have absolutely. It would have done just fine for what we did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about it. You would have had
heated seats.
I would have had heated seats,
which is really nice.
I could have slept in the back. The back seat of the F-150 is massive. I can sleep back there just fine. So yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff, and I got to put my money elsewhere at the moment. So
yeah,
but at the same time, I'm like, I need to figure something out for snow camping. I can't go snow camping anymore until I get a new air mattress now or new mattress of some sort.
Yeah. Or you go down to Cabela's or Bass Pro Shop and you just go buy one of those blue foam pads for like 99 cents.
Yeah.
And that's there's your temporary fix until you find the mattress you want.
Yeah, I might do that. We'll see.
I might even have one for you.
Really?
Probably, maybe. Mine were always small though, because I only, whenever I went camping, I went from my shoulders to like my mid thigh.
Okay.
And that's the length I took, mm-hmm. Because I would put a pillow or something underneath my head mm-hmm. that held my head above the snow. And then I put like my jacket underneath my legs, because most of the time my legs don't really get that cold.
Okay.
And the part that I really needed to keep warm is my, you know, my chest, the torso area. Mm-hmm. So it would probably be, I'll see if I can find two for you.
Yeah. We'll see. We have a couple of trips coming up, but they're day trips, snow wheeling trips for the Mad Hatters. So I don't have any more plans for snow camping per se, mm-hmm. but I'd still like to do more snow camping this year.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So either buy a bunch of Amazon stuff or just sack it up and go buy one of those Paco pads or that really nice Therm-a-Rest or 99 cent blue foam.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll figure it out.
You might as well go with the 99 cent blue foam anyway mm-hmm. as a backup.
Well, yeah, I think I might need to do that for backup. I need to get my storage solution done in the back of the 4Runner, because once I have that done, then I'll know how much space I actually have for permanent solutions, like camping solutions. Like mm-hmm. how much space do I actually have for a kitchen setup? How much space do I actually have for sleeping setups to store in the rig while I get to the camping areas?
Sure.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, and a lot of that kind of comes down to, how much you want to allocate to what section, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're going to buy one of those Paco pads, now you're probably encroaching on your kitchen setup.
Yeah. Yes. You'd be encroaching on every setup. Yeah.
And the interns sitting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, but if you need to prioritize which one has a higher priority.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start figuring out what to allocate space wise to what options there are, or what, how to figure that all out. Yeah.
Yep. I got to figure that out. Cause right now the big steel metal drawer. Where do you put
the gazelle?
It goes on top of,
you put it inside or on top of the rig?
Inside.
Okay.
Yeah. It just barely fits in between the window to window on the quarter panel, essentially inside. So, horizontally really? In the rig.
Yep.
Mm. Mm-hmm. The T4 I have to put on top of the rig.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where my rooftop tent comes in play.
Yep. Yeah. So you just open the T4 on top of the rig?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I mean, worst case scenario, you could have slept in the 4Runner, right?
I could have slept if it had bugged me that much. I could have just gone up and slept in the 4Runner. I would have just been like in the passenger seat or something.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be that comfortable, but
yeah, be warm.
It would be warmer a little bit.
Yeah, like it's funny, the cold air doesn't bother me too much because I take a comforter and a sleeping bag with me. So like the sleeping bag is a pretty heavy duty older style sleeping bag, and the comforter is just another boundary layer, insulation layer, and that's, I sleep with the comforter over my head essentially to keep my head warm.
Yeah.
And so I never really have an issue with the cold air. It's always from the ground. Mm-hmm. The ground is what I always have issues with when camping.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's one of the things I'm trying to figure out about, for KOH is what level of, sleeping attire or, not attire, but, sleeping gear.
Yeah.
Do I want to bring? Cause a few years ago I went down and I think I brought a 20 degree sleeping bag and my comforter. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure this year it's going to be pretty cold.
Yeah.
Also, yep. The year I went down there in 2019, there was snow on the track.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think this year is going to be pretty close.
Yeah.
So I'm considering, I have a 0 degree, so I'm thinking about bringing the 0 degree.
Gotcha.
And possibly the comforter.
Nice. Is your 0 degree a mummy bag?
Yeah,
it is. I would assume. Mm-hmm. See, I want to get a lower degree temperatured bag, sleeping bag, but I don't like mummy bags.
Yeah, they make 0 degree now. Non-mummy bags.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think Castle Nuts has one.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to look into those more. I think too.
And depending on what material you go with, you know, they get really far down there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I have 2 0 degree, both mummy bags, one synthetic and one's down.
Okay. Nice. Cool.
Don't ask me why I have two.
Because you need two. One's synthetic and one's down. Yeah. If you're going to be in rainy situations, you need the synthetic one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Let's wrap up this episode then. That's what we've been up to.
Yes.
That is what we've had going on. Jimmy may or may not be hiding some tokens down at Hammers. And
may or may not.
May or may not. And what's the word? Have you figured out anything on the like a listener meetup, doing one down there with Wheeling Wine and Whiskey and those guys?
Well, so Wheeling Wine and Whiskey just says contact them and he'll give you the GPS coordinates to the campground.
Okay. So it's going to be a listener meetup the whole week long,
I guess.
Okay.
But my thing is, what if we're not there?
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. Like, hey, swing by the campground and we may or may not be around.
Yeah. That happened a couple times last year. Some people came by and never got to say hi because we weren't there when they came by.
So I'm considering doing, like, saying I'm going to be at the gate of Hammertown at this time, you know, and I'll be there for an hour, you know, and if you guys want to swing by. But I haven't figured any of that out yet.
Gotcha.
But, I can probably do something.
Okay.
It'll probably be, it'll either be Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
When I would do it, because I'm driving down on Wednesday. And so it would probably be Thursday or Friday at some point in the day. I'm going to, you know, be in X location at X time, and we'll let you know.
Yeah.
I'll be posting it up on Instagram, and we'll probably make some sort of announcement here if we can. So we'll see.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah.
If people wanted to get in touch with us about meeting up at Hammers, about what you guys use for your sleeping setups while you're ground tent camping.
In the snow.
Let us know. Our emails are jimmy@snailtrail4x4.com and tyler@snailtrail4x4.com. You can also DM us anything that you guys want, feedback, fun pictures. Just make sure that they are pictures that we would want to see and not some other pictures that we don't want to see. That's how you get yourself blocked, Sherpa. Just FYI. you can find those over at Snail Trail 4X4 and 4X4 Toyota Tyler. And I think that's about it. If you're a patron, then you have access to the patron group page. You can get in touch with us on there. That has some fun conversations going on right now. And yeah, good stuff.
Good stuff.
Cool. Do you got any final words for everybody?
Hammock camping.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
Okay.
What do you call an elephant that doesn't matter?
Hell if I know. Hell if I know.
No. Oh. Ear elephant.
Oh. Okay. Ear elephant. Your ear elephant.
That one, the one you were thinking of is what do you get when you mix an elephant and a rhino?
Oh, that's what it was.
An elephino.
Elephino.